We do see a trend on less sophisticated long-term planning when it comes to Western targets and into a more inspired and supported terrorist attacks, even when it comes to small cells. So we're talking about lower level violence, but more of that. And we've seen this throughout the year 2021 and of course also end of 2020, not only because of the COVID restrictions, but also because this type of terrorism is far more cost effective and much harder to detect by the security services than this kind of 9/11 type complicated years of preparation attacks.
What organizations do you see featured in the terrorism of 2022?
Yeah, here, unfortunately, the news is that there are more organizations involved in this, right? So not only do you have Afghanistan, obviously, which in the last couple of months has been the topic that everyone has talked about for very good reasons, but you do have a near total destabilization of the northern half of Africa with various terror groups, some linked to Al-Qaeda, others linked to the Islamic State, not only continuing to establish themselves there, but also to expand their areas of operations. There were some countries in West Africa, now it's nearly all of West Africa. There was no Islamic inspired terrorism in Central Africa, now there is ISIS affiliate there. Couple that with a continuing ramping up of operations of the Islamic State, both in Iraq and Syria, plus a revival of Islamist terrorism in Southeast Asia, and you have a very, I would say, complicated threat picture that has dominated last year and will continue to dominate next year with no real good path forward on this getting any better. Conflict regions seem to proliferate rather than getting reduced. And then on the right-wing extremist side, as we have discussed over several of our conversations in the last year, we don't see any less pressure from that side either. So again, January 6th, of course, was the big event in the US that made this threat clear to everyone, but it didn't start with January 6th and certainly didn't end with the prosecution of January 6th. You have now a very viable transatlantic or transnational, if you count Australia and New Zealand into that equation, right-wing terrorist movement, where again, lone actors in the way that they are alone when they are doing the violence, but not alone in their inspiration and in their support networks, perpetrating at least in Europe, increasing level of violence.
So you talked about this growth of terror groups or the expansion of terror groups in North Africa and in parts of West Africa as well. What's driving the growth and expansion?
The proliferation of conflict zones, failing governments that have not been able to deliver for their populations, which then weakens their grip on their country, which then enables terrorism. And of course, both ISIL and Al-Qaeda being able to reorganize themselves, because I had the feeling we took a little bit our eye off the ball here in Africa in the last 2 years. We've been concentrating on the Islamic State, in particular in the Middle East, i.e. Syria and Iraq. We, apart from the French, really didn't engage with Africa. And in East Africa, especially in Somalia, it was outsourced to AMISOM, the African community, to sort out that problem. And they are about to withdraw from Somalia, similar to what we did in Afghanistan. So we let this situation in Africa linger, I think, for a little bit too long. And now we'll have to deal with a revived Al-Qaeda structure. Since 2017, there's a coalition called the Movement for the Protection of Islam and the Muslims, JINIM. And you have Al-Qaeda affiliates called Islamic State Province, West Africa, Greater Sahara, Central Africa, and ISIS in Puntland, is the northern part of Somalia, basically having now completed the arc, as I said, through the northern half of Africa. And this has been lingering for a long time. And we've not been able to improve that situation, either from the outside or through support to the governments to actually not have a coup every 6 weeks or start governing their country, as it was the case in Mali, effectively, and both parts, not just the southern part. That, I think, is the sad story, that neither the regional organizations, the African Union, nor us as in the international community were able to pay sufficient amount of attention to or have a viable and effective strategy to counter that kind of situation.
Final question on this topic. What do you think needs to be done then to deal with it? It has festered and, you know, we haven't done a lot to deal with this issue. So now what needs to be done?
Well, first of all, we'll have to recognize that this is an actual issue. Africa will always be more of an issue, obviously, for Europe than for the United States, for very obvious geographical regions reasons, and also because the migrant flows from Africa will hit Europe before they get anywhere near the United States. But you can see already with the problems that you had many, many years ago in Minnesota with the Somali population, that African issue can always have feedback loops within communities of migrants also within the United States. So the recognition that this is our problem as much as it's the continent's problem is step one. Step two would be to see whether we can engage with the African Union and individual governments on the ground more effectively to ensure that good governance is actually delivered in this part of the continent, which is the basis without which none of the counterterrorism measures are ever going to be anything but temporary relief of some very immediate symptom, i.e., ISIS growing out of control and gaining control over territory, again, as it does at the moment in West Africa. A military solution is only going to do the same thing that it did in Iraq and Syria. It destroys the physical infrastructure. It doesn't destroy the organization's abilities to operate as a terror group, in particular, as long as the internet is a very permissive space for these organizations, which brings me to the second point, what we need to do, and that goes beyond Africa. We need to now finalize European legislation. The Digital Services Act and the Terrorist Content Online Regulation is coming online this year, and the DSA hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years, to ensure that these companies finally start taking the issue of terrorism seriously as a compliance issue, not as a reputational management issue, i.e. really looking at their algorithms on how they amplify and help people to radicalize online, but also looking at their monitoring strategies and how they can actually internally detect this kind of content better, and then figure out on whether the removal or the de-amplification is the right way forward, which none of which is happening at the moment very effectively. And the third aspect is we need to actually think about helping in a sustainable way African economies, whether this is through development aid or economic cooperation, because lots of these governments are also not able to actually bring about a viable economic situation, which again leads to radicalization in these countries.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project. More at WTOP.com. Search National Security. JJ Green, WTOP News.